You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Just a cursory look through a Bible reveals that Isaiah is a notable work, if for nothing else than its length. But even though it's come down to us as one of the major prophetic books in Hebrew Scripture, it's actually more like three. And when you pay attention to the various topics and writing styles, the three separate books by at least three different writers or schools of thought becomes pretty clear. Today's passage is the beginning of the second book, where Israel is invited to return home after its exile in Babylon. So it's been nearly 50 years since Jerusalem was sacked and the Jews were dragged off. The Persian ruler, Cyrus the Great, has conquered the Babylonians and decreed that all the captive peoples can go home, including the Jews. But hang on a second. Some folks are not at all happy about going back. Plenty of them have never even seen Jerusalem. They've gotten comfortable where they are. They have to rebuild in that desert. Sheesh, the desert they have to cross to get back is no small challenge. But a voice cries out, "Get busy, make a highway. The mountains will be made low and the valleys lifted up so you can make a straight path." And if that sounds at all familiar, it's probably because you've heard it at Christmas time in Handel's Messiah. In fact, long before old George Friedrich got his hands on it, this whole passage was commandeered by early Christians and made into a prophecy about Jesus, when it's got nothing to do with Jesus. Granted, there's a lot of language about a shepherd leading the sheep, and it's tempting for Christians to think about Jesus. But remember, all the "don't worry" and "a shepherd who carries the lambs and leads the sheep" talk is not talking about Jesus. It's very clearly about a specific historical event that, because of the specific topic and what we know about history, and I love this about these kind of passages, is that scholars have pretty much been able to pinpoint the year of its writing, 539 before the Common Era. So, let me encourage you to take off your Jesus filters just for a minute, and if you do, you'll see how rich this passage is all on its own. God is giving a command to the heavenly hosts to comfort Israel, offering encouragement to those who would just as well stay put and maintain the status quo in exile. This passage is letting them in on the news that Israel's served her time. She's been pardoned and is now free to go home again. So let's give a listen to these words that early Christians, George Frederick Handel, and many of us have been mistakenly conditioned to associate with John the Baptist, Jesus, and a vague Christmassy sentiment.
Our words of wisdom today are from Isaiah 40:1-11. "Comfort, O comfort my people, and say, 'Your God.' Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." A voice cries out,
"In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken."
A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry? All people are grass. This consistency is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judea, here is our God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arms rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
I don't know if any of you are Hell on Wheels fans, but it's an AMC series from a few years ago about the people who built the Transcontinental Railroad right after the Civil War. Some of the characters are loosely based on real people, including Thomas Durant, the head of the Union Pacific. In one early scene, Durant and his civil engineers are standing over a map of Nebraska, and he asks, "Why have you made my road so straight? What I was thinking was something more like this." And he draws an imaginary wavy line across Nebraska with a stick. And the engineer asks, "But we're building over flat land. Why wouldn't we make it straight?" Durant is totally exasperated and says, "Let me elucidate. In case you haven't heard, this undertaking is being subsidized by the federal government.
This never-ending money-gushing nipple pays me $16,000 per mile. Yet, you build my road straight!"
"You're fired. Get out." Ah, weaving all over the place means more miles, and more miles means more money in Durant's pocket. Some things just never change. File this one under the shortest distance from point A to point B, maybe further than you think. But our passage for today is pretty clear about what people of faith are meant to strive for. A voice in the wilderness calls out, "Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." In this case, point A is Babylon, and point B is Jerusalem. Ready? Go. But evidently, there were people with different experiences of exile. Some wanted to get back to Jerusalem and fulfill what they thought was God's call. Others were perfectly happy to stay where they were. To go back to Jerusalem and have to rebuild everything and fulfill God's vision for the future is, well, you know, hard. The prophet seems pretty frustrated to me. "Hey, all these people are no better than the grass of the field. Let them dry up and blow away for all I care." But the author of Isaiah has God say to the prophet, "Get up, go on the mountaintop near Jerusalem, and you'll see me coming with might, gentleness, and anything else you need." In other words, just get to work on the highway. Don't get exasperated at the fleeting nature of life and the difficulty of working with, you know, people. In the process, you just may get a glimpse of the divine. Now, I don't know about you, but I could go for a glimpse of the divine about now. 2020 has definitely been a year to put in the rearview mirror as soon as possible, and it shows no sign of getting any better. But there have been glimmers over recent years, glimpses of what I think the divine would approve as people getting with the program. I don't know if you'll remember, but a few summers ago, over a half a dozen black churches were burned to the ground across the South. Evidence pointed to the perpetrators being white supremacists or others with racial motivations. And who stepped in to raise money for these churches? Muslims. Yep. Several Muslim groups raised over $100,000 to help rebuild black churches. Hang on. I think that highway just got a little straighter. Not long after that, Jewish settlers set a Palestinian home on fire, killing a Muslim toddler and severely burning other family members. And what happened? Even Prime Minister Netanyahu condemned these Jewish fundamentalists as terrorists, calling the act a reprehensible and horrific act of terrorism in every respect. My friend John Linder, rabbi of Temple Salel in Scottsdale, wrote, "We are fighting common enemies within our own people who choose to desecrate God's glorious name through their perverted fundamentalism. Jews calling out Jews for violence against Muslims." Wow. I think one of those valleys may have just been lifted up a bit. As we wait for the development of a vaccine for COVID-19, I'm encouraged that last December, the FDA just approved a vaccine for Ebola that is 100% effective. Amazing. Has that mountain just been made a little lower? Sure. But it took over 5 years from the last major outbreak. And the first efforts over 20 years ago were stymied because the pharmaceutical companies didn't want to invest the money in an Ebola vaccine because there's not enough profit in it for them. And after all, Ebola really only affects blacks in Africa, so there's no big rush, right? Closer to home, even though marriage equality has become the law of the land, something many of us have been working on in my case for more than 25 years, forces are still at work to compromise and turn back the clock on any advances. And of course, our United Methodist denomination is still dragging its heels, still threatening and firing LGBTQ United Methodist colleagues. Maybe the metaphor of a straight highway breaks down here a bit. Anyway, today our culture is torn by questions of racial equality, how we organize our society fairly, the compromise of the rule of law, and an outright assault on the nature of reality. So let me just say, whether it's these big news items or challenges in our own lives and families, we need to hear that voice calling us to make a way, to create a space for the divine to be able to show up, even in the midst of what is often cruel, destructive, demoralizing experiences. Marcus Borg used to talk about there being three macro stories in the Bible: bondage and liberation, exile and return, and sin and forgiveness. But what's super unhelpful is that we as an institution, the church, have gotten stuck. We've become fixated on just one of those macro stories, the sin and forgiveness angle. The institution of many faiths tells us that we human beings are horrible and we need Jesus or temple sacrifice or indulgences or whatever to buy off God and compel God to love us again. Central to the church's business plan is convincing people that they're guilty and then being a redemption center for people who feel guilty. But guilt is not everybody's problem. Maybe you feel trapped and stifled. You don't need forgiveness. What you need is to be set free. Maybe you feel cast off and alienated from what's important in your life. You don't need to be set free. What you need is a way back to start over. Well, then the other two macro stories might fit the bill. You think bondage and liberation with the slavery in Egypt story, and our story today, exile and return, being about Israel's captivity in and return from Babylon. Over the course of a lifetime, we all find ourselves in different situations and in need of different solutions. For those who first heard our passage today, the problem was exile. And the prophet is offering them words of assurance that they will be comforted. And a voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." In other words, get busy. Start making a way, even in the desert, and God's purposes will be revealed. And note that insofar as the hearers start the work, God will contribute by lifting up every valley and lowering every mountain. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. Our passage today has God interrupting the status quo and saying, "Comfort, oh comfort my people." Well, hang on a second. Who is God giving these instructions to? The prophet? Maybe. But what we see when we look at the original Hebrew is that these instructions are in the plural form. In the Southern vernacular, it would be the y'all form. Y'all comfort the people. So the ones being instructed to comfort the people seem to be God's heavenly court. I really haven't seen much of them lately. So I think the comforting falls to us. Some of you know that the Fountains has a reputation in our community. Depending on what you make of our passage today, we are either dangerous tools of Satan or comforters of the afflicted, building a highway for our God. Back in 2015, the Reconciling Ministries Network said that, as far as they're concerned, the Fountains is on the highway building side of the equation, which is in part why they presented us with their Voice in the Wilderness Award. Hey people, this is a national award given to persons or groups who, despite their isolation in wilderness situations, take risks to proclaim the rightness of inclusion of all persons in the community of the church. Now, I don't know what the Fountain Hills Chamber of Commerce thinks about being called the wilderness, but the Reconciling Ministries Network saw us to be a voice that cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." The Voice in the Wilderness Award is specifically for having made public our belief that when we say Jesus loves everybody, we mean everybody. It was instrumental in our having updated our mission statement and making our primary concern that of putting love first. The Fountains has a reputation for being a voice for those who are exiled, including our Praise Well with Others initiative, mission and service work, and all the other ways we stand out from the crowd. But this is now, and there's still work to do. God interrupted the plans of the exiles. Many had gotten comfortable and were happy to just let things go on the way they were. But God interrupted. "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." I remember back in 1989, I remember getting to the end of my seminary career and having this fleeting and very naive thought. Well, dang, the civil rights era is over. Women's rights have seen such advancement. The Berlin Wall has just fallen, and Tiananmen Square had us thinking that democracy might be breaking out in China. Wow, utopia on the horizon. No big challenges for us followers of Jesus, right? Should be a nice, quiet career. Well, God interrupted. Even before the events of 2020, all it takes is being honest about humanity's real situation, with all its struggle and hunger, its grief and disease, injustice, corruption, loneliness, death, and all the collateral damage and suffering that comes with it. So what I think we need to hear is exactly what the exiles in Babylon needed to hear. What the prophet had in mind for them, and I think for us, is not getting comfortable sitting in exile, sheltered at home, assimilated into a culture that tolerates racism, hatred, lies, and greed. That's not who we really are. We're called to take issue with the contempt and disrespect we see others promoting, a selfishness that denigrates the humanity of others, that abuses creation and makes idols of race, religion, wealth, and privilege. We have the choice to turn inward and make it all about me and my buddy Jesus. Or we can both hear and be that voice calling in the wilderness, doing our part to nudge that highway into an ever straighter path, making way for the divine to come into the world in all its many deep and diverse ways. Look, we can see the challenges of this year and the adjustments that many of us have had to make as a threat and marginalization, or we can see ourselves as beneficiaries of a situation where God has interrupted our otherwise cushy status quo and said, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. It won't be the first time that a challenging situation has seemed like a threat, but instead has raised the fountain's profile and expanded our identity as a voice in the wilderness. Remember the fact or fiction campaign? Unlike Thomas Durant, whose vision was to weave his railroad all over the countryside for his own benefit, we're called to make straight the highway. And by straight, I don't mean narrow. Look, we're not Isaiah, and we're certainly not Jesus, but I do believe we're among those whom God is calling to raise a voice in making way for the holy, to comfort the afflicted, and afflict the comfortable. May it be so. Be well.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.